Thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come together and worship you and just pray you'd open our minds to see deep things of your word. And Lord, we certainly will be looking at things we'd never otherwise know unless you would reveal them. So open our hearts to see what you have to say. Anoint me that I could just speak words of the Spirit and everyone receive of the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're still in Daniel, kind of continuing along with that, starting off Daniel 9. Before I say that, I encourage everybody to come to the Easter egg hunt and bring your friends, okay? Bring your friends. And the reason you need to bring your friends is because we have 5,000 eggs. All right, so I don't know, if you don't bring your friends, I don't know what we're going to do with all those eggs. So 5,000 eggs, and if they want to come at 10 o'clock, they can come in here, and you know, there'll be a short message on Jesus. I promise it'll be short, and we won't ask them to come down and pray or anything, so they'll be safe, all right, so they can come. Or you can come about 11:30 and just meet outside and have fun, but we really would like to see some friends and to be able to come with their children and help us gather up the 5,000 eggs. Daniel 9:26c, you'll see. To the end, there shall be war and desolations are decreed during the time of the Holy Spirit. My parentheses there. We're looking at this morning, Daniel, the signs of the end. The signs of the end. As we go through the book of Daniel, and you come in, especially Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, and then Daniel chapter 9, as we walk through that, you just have to address the whole issue about end times. You can't skip it. And as a kind of an inside joke here, I have skipped it for years publicly. I've read through it, and then so as I was preaching through Daniel, I felt that the Lord definitely wanted me to speak on the issue as we went through it. So I'm giving it my best shot here. And so we've been following through this. And so this morning, we're looking at the piece of signs of the end. And what I mean by signs of the end is we as a church, and I mean people as a church, what is the church looking for? Because Daniel, back in, when Daniel spoke this, it's all future to him. Everything was future to him. And so he's making these prophecies that were just incredible. So we're going to look at this one, and what is a church, will we see as signs of the end? And being very sensitive to a lot of people, they said, you've heard me say this before, it says after 3 points, they check out. Okay, and I always have at least 15. But so I'm talking to myself for the last, 12 or so. But so we got 3 points. Okay, so I'm going to cover 3 main points with a little addendum on the signs of the end. So we will look at this and try to just stick to the scripture and say, what is God telling us about signs of the end? We see here in Daniel, and we looked at this the last couple of weeks, that it was he looked forward after the period of Christ, after the period of Jesus, he makes his comment. It's a short comment, but after the appearance of Christ is a prophetic statement about the coming Messiah, and it says this, to the end there shall be war. All right? It's like, okay, Jesus has come, he's crucified, he's resurrected, and everybody's loving life. That's not what happened. To the end there will be war, and then it says desolations are decreed. So that's what the future held, and it knew, but that's the only verse we have there. Now what I want to look, let's bring it back up to the time of the Holy Spirit, the time where there's, I believe, the fulfillment through the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Scripture. If you want to put one, Jesus is the fulfillment, period. Somebody says, well, this is the fulfillment, this is the fulfillment, Israel's the fulfillment. No. Jesus is the fulfillment. Everything flows from him, and that everything was looking to him. So he is the fulfillment. Yet at the same time, there are things happening, and the Lord reveals them to us. Say, hey, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take care of things. And across the theological lines, and they have all kinds of different views on the end times, all of them, all believing theologians, Christian theologians, believe Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. So that's a consistency. So we're going to look at this. Where are we? Jesus is coming back. I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 2. This is one of the early churches the Apostle Paul preached to. So he comes into Thessalonica, he preaches to them, and he leaves. And they later write him and say, hey, we got some questions. We got some questions here. So this is the early church, and so they're writing to the Apostle Paul after he ministered to them, and they're asking questions. And it's Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Here's what they ask. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So what you have here is that the church, this church, they have a question. They say, wait a minute. There's some people telling us Jesus has already come. There are people telling us things about the end times have already happened. So they're confused. Now look here at their questions. Look at their questions. These are the questions they're asking. And you'll see that their questions are not any different than our questions, all right? And the points of concern are here. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so Paul told them when he brought them to understand Christ, and as they accepted Christ as their Savior, he talked to them about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so they had some questions about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. We need to know that. But they wanted to know when. And also, the second point they ask, Jesus is coming back and our being gathered to him. Now, what is that? He's going to come back, but we're going to be gathered to him. What's he going to do? He is going to come back, and he's going to gather believers to him. And we'll look at that and what that means. So he's going to come in the sky and he's going to bring all believers to himself. And they said, gosh, and their question is, what about when Jesus comes and he's going to gather all believers to them? But their underlining question is like, I think we missed it. I don't know. You know, they didn't have the internet and think, gosh, I think they got everybody else and they missed us. You know, and so they're writing this letter. But those are two important questions. When is Jesus coming back and us being gathered together? So the two things go together. Jesus comes and he gathers believers to himself. There's a time we look forward to. Then it says on below that, and it says, and these people are telling us, you know, that the day of the Lord has already come. The day of the Lord has already come. Now, important point here. The day of the Lord always, almost always in Scripture, has to do with God's wrath. When it says the day of the Lord, it's not, woo-hoo, you know, let's roast marshmallows. It's like, oh no, this is bad. This is bad. And what his wrath does, his wrath comes and he judges all unbelievers. So when you read Old Testament and New Testament, and he'll say, that day, and they mean the day of the Lord, or the day of the Lord, it's a time of wrath, almost 100% of the time. So you can just read into that. There's one of the books, the Old Testament, Zephaniah, and it goes, and the book's about the Lord's wrath. So you just want to read Zephaniah and just read about God's wrath, you know? It's a real nice bedtime story, you know? But it's the day of the Lord. So this is what we have. So we have the church at Thessalonica asking the same things we're asking. And so here we're going to give an explanation. 3 points. And you know this is not the only 3 points. This is not covering everything. But let's look at this and what the Lord does show us. So what we're going to look at here, and we're going to see what the Lord will call them, and as the day of the Lord approaches, he calls them birth pains. Birth pains. Now, ladies, now doesn't that communicate a lot? Birth pains. There's going to be a lot of birth pains before delivery, all right? Things are going to happen. Things are going to happen that delivery is coming, and it's going to be painful, but it's not the birth. It's not the birth. And for you guys, I think you know, if you were with your wife when she were having her child, you know what it was. She wasn't just, you know, reading a book. Right? So it's painful. Little true story, but a little humor. There's a couple that came to our church years and years ago, and a young couple, and she had her first baby. And they were kind of country folks, you know, like me. And so she had her first baby, and so she's going to do this thing natural, which to me is the height of insanity. I'm sorry. I'm a guy. I knock me out, you know, and we would have no children. It was up to me. Okay. Praise Jesus for all the natural childbirth mothers. So they went to the hospital. I didn't hear anything. So the next day, I thought, you know, I'm going to call, see how he's doing, how they're doing. So I called up and I said, hey, how's things going? He goes, good, good. Everything okay? Yeah, yeah. No information. You know, ladies, it just goes, you know. And I said, I called her by name, your wife doing? He said, well, okay. I said, what's she doing right now? Well, I thought she's just screaming. I said, oh my God, this is day two. And she's screaming, you know. And I said, well, why don't you just go back and help her out? And if anything happens, you let me know. And I hung the phone up and I said, oh my God, she's screaming. Anyway, birth pains, okay, birth pains. Some of you ladies would handle it way better than I would. But that's what he talks about when he looks at the Lord's return. What we're going to see is birth pains. Not the delivery necessary, but the birth pains. Now, here we were. Birth pain one. I'm going to give us three birth pains. Birth pain number one, okay? Birth pain number one. And this comes from the Lord Jesus. Until the end, there's going to be wars and turmoils. And here's the point. With ever increasing intensity. You remember that. And that's something you should write down on all these. It's with ever increasing intensity. So there's going to be wars and turmoils with ever increasing intensity. That's a birth pain. It's a birth pain. And this is one place where it's stated. In Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. The Lord Jesus is replying to the disciples. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when will these things be? Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. Going to be false Christ. He just said, there are many of them. They're going to come and they're going to say, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. See, you're not alarmed. Not that you're not alarmed by the wars, but see, you're not alarmed that I'm coming right back. This is just a birth pain. But it is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Then he says, all these are but the beginnings of the birth pains. So the whole world is in travail. There's going to be there's going to be wars and earthquakes, and it's going to be a sign of the Lord coming back. Now, here's something else, and we want to have a Christian perspective. The world's telling you all sorts of things about how a world's going to end. And they even, you know, there are certain scientists that say, well, we're going to end it. Okay, I just let you in on something. We're not going to end it, all right? The Lord's going to come back and he is going to end it. We're not going to do anything in this world that's going to destroy it. Jesus will come back and he's going to do the job. So don't worry about what the world is telling you. Jesus is going to come back and take care of this. You don't have to be concerned. So, birth pain number one. Increasing intensity of wars, earthquakes, and physical disasters. Jesus told us. Ever increasing intensity. Okay? Number two. Birth pain number two. Rebellion against God will grow with ever increasing intensity, culminating with the Antichrist. Now, How many of you, you know, have to answer this? Gosh, why do you just watch TV? All these people are going off on Christians, and you know, and just you can be anything in the world almost, but a Christian, and you know, the only legitimately persecuted minority in the world seems to be Christians. And why is this? Jesus, God told us, it's a birth pain. It is a birth pain. It's a sign that Jesus is coming back. Be aware. It's a sign that he's coming back. So when you see this rebellion against God, it is a birth pain. So you have this ever increasing intensity of this rebellion against God. And it's ultimately going to be manifest in a person. The Antichrist, which the Bible says that the Lord Jesus personally will kill. And that's the word, personally will kill. So that's tying to the end. Now look at here at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And this, and you see the Apostle Paul addressing this birth pain. Addressing the Thessalonica church, because they think they've missed the whole thing. He goes, Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. You admit, you're going to see a rebellion first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. So you're going to see the rebellion and a man of lawlessness revealed. The son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. I mean, he's basically, you ain't God, I am. And by the way, I won't persecute everybody else that doesn't believe I am. See, there's this, and there's going to be a growing intensity where this event takes place, So this is Paul telling this church. Now, here's something very important. By the way, you should be encouraged. I saw this for the first time as I was studying through Daniel and studying these chapters. I thought, oh my goodness gracious. I never really saw this before. Because what we have here in this situation, this man of lawlessness, now, okay, this is for us that have gone through Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, so all this ties together, and it's being revealed, more of it's being revealed here in the New Testament. But we have this little horn, it's called a little horn, which is a person, and it's introduced in Daniel chapter 7, okay? It's a little horn, bad guy, all right? And see it as the Antichrist, and he's going to make, this little horn is going to make a covenant with the people of God, Israel, and based on Daniel, in Daniel 9, for 7 years. And halfway through that 7 years, he's going to break this covenant. So this is the guy, all right? So in Daniel. Now, also, we should note right here that this is where many people, based on this information we just went over, that you have the Antichrist, he's going to come back, and he's going to make this covenant for 7 years, you're going to break it in half. Well, when we looked at this thing about 70 weeks, and I'm not trying to pull everything together, but it all builds on itself, which makes it one of the things of difficulty interpretation. God says, hey, this is all going to happen in 70 weeks. And he tells us what, 69 weeks, and there's 69 weeks of years, 483 years. It says, boom, so we get Jesus, hit the nail right on the head. But now the next 7 years are just a gap. It's not addressed. So that's where the questions come about, this last 7 years. In the last 7 years, this is where the little horn comes in. In the last 7 years, this is where Jesus comes back and deals with the little horn. So you have this space of time that's hanging out there, and that's where the discussion comes about what that really means and how it applies. And that's where the questions are. And that's 483 years. It's the last seven, okay? So what people do, and you look at it, and I'm going to give you the whole picture of it. If some people look at that, okay, the 7 years has already passed, it's history, okay? Or there's a spiritual application. Okay, that's fine, then we don't have to worry about it. But if it's not, and it is physical, like the last seven is physical, like the first 483, and it's still a future, they will, people will look at this, and there's understanding here, is to say, well, and it all had to do with the nation of Israel. It all had to do with Israel. So they say, okay, Israel need to be present for this 7 years. So when Israel is present for this 7 years, then we're going to have this Antichrist going to come that during this period of time, and then he's going to make some sort of covenant with that has to do with the country of Israel to make peace, because nobody can get along with them. And so he's going to come and he's going to make peace. But halfway through it, he is going to break that covenant. And at the end of that 7 years, he's going to come back. But there's a logic for that. Does everybody see what I mean by the logic of that? So the last 7 years, Antichrist, Jesus are returning, are all tied together, and it's all future. So now we're looking future, and Paul says, don't worry about any of this. Don't worry about any of this. The Apostle Paul knew Daniel as well as anybody. He understood the whole aspect about Daniel. And so when these people ask him when Jesus is coming back, he could have told them the things we've looked at. Oh, it's the 10 horns, it's the 10 toes, it's a little horn, it's a big, you know, all this stuff. It's the 7 years. He could have said all that stuff, all right? The point is, to get here, he didn't. He didn't say anything about Daniel. He did say something about Daniel, but he only said one thing. He only said one thing. The man of lawlessness will come. Period. He didn't say anything about Israel. He didn't say anything about 10 horns, 10 toes. He said, the man. So here's the thing that struck me. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's the man. It is the man. I mean, I don't know about what's all circling around here, and there's some questions and there's some scriptural things we can look at. But the warning is what he tells the church. He says, no, you. When it's the man, what do you want to keep your eyes open? It's the man, okay? And his name is Little Horn, Man of Lawlessness, Antichrist, all right? And he is a bad man. He's a bad man, okay? And so here is the thing where we look at this and we think that the Apostle Paul is giving us a tremendous insight that we can discern, what's going to happen. Now, with this, I want to add, last week we talked about that the church, we are the fulfillment of everything God wanted. God says, I am going to move into the world, and I'm going to reveal myself to the world in the goodness and glory of God. I'm going to reveal myself through the church in the time of the Holy Spirit. We are God's answer to this world. Okay? Of course, we're fighting each other and spitting and cussing and all that, but we are God's answer to this world. And so his work is to work through us to get us in line with him so that we can witness him to this world, because we're his kingdom here. We are here bringing and spreading the kingdom of God now, okay? There is a however there, and I used last week, and I used an analogy of like building a roller coaster. Okay, I said, if God said, before I come, I'm going to build a roller coaster, and I'm going to build it in Maine, all right? So all of a sudden, we see God building a roller coaster in Maine, and we go, oh my gosh, I want to give money to that so he can build that roller coaster. Or I want to go, and when it gets built, I want to ride on it, you know. Or I see this roller coaster, and I'm going to gather up money, and other people can send and build that roller coaster. And, I mean, who would do that, okay? No, because that's not our purpose. Our purpose, if anything, we see that roller coaster going up, we go, oh, wow, things are getting short. So we better get to work with our assignment. And our assignment is to spread the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you need to come to know Jesus. You need to come to know salvation. Because God's coming back and he's going to judge this world. Because I see this roller coaster being built over here, okay? Oh my goodness, all right? And I'm not necessarily going to try to intervene with the elections of the governor of Maine, you know? Because there's good governors and bad. God's going to take care of that. And I'm not trying to be flippant, but I want us to focus on what we're called to and what God is telling us, that we have a responsibility to share the gospel. And as we see things getting closer and closer, we should be more empowered, more encouraged to share Christ, that people come to know Him. Because when Jesus comes back, the day of the Lord, what is the day of the Lord? It's wrath. Wrath. And you talk about global warming? Global warming will come, and Jesus is going to bring it. He's going to burn everything up. And it even says, we looked at it, He said, if all this is to be burned up, what sort of life should we live? See? So, Jesus will bring global warming, all right? Because He's going to cleanse everything. It's a day of wrath. It's a day of wrath. And so the message to us and the message to Thessalonica, share the gospel. We are the answer. Now, so when look at this and just, we see right here, we see where there's something when we're looking at the end times. It's like, and God says, and He gives us a lot of information about it. It's evil. It's incarnate evil. It's incarnate evil. And there is, and here's something that I find fascinating with, like, oh my goodness, that this is going to happen. I believe this rebellion, this attitude of rebellion, there is going to be a population, you know, some talk about like the Antichrist at the end. He's going to come in and he's just going to take over everything and, you know, whip everybody, you know. That may be true. But I think He is going to be embraced. He's going to be open arms. He's going to bring world peace. He's going to bring the answers. He's going to be embraced. And it's going to be just like embracing Satan. Okay? And the people who are unaware, the non-Christian people, are going to embrace Him. Believers will not, because they'll see who He is. Okay? Do you have a... You see the divide there. You see the divide there. Now, that's conjecture. However, what the Bible does say, an evil person is coming. But there will be, I think, a growing intensity that makes people more accepting of that kind of person. I want somebody to solve the problem. I want somebody to take control. I want somebody to do this. And so there's going to be embracing of that. There's going to be a growing intensity and communication where God will be preparing people. Won't God be preparing? Satan will be preparing people to embrace this person. Satan's going to be in preparing people to embrace this person. Now, we have in 1 John, talking about the Antichrist, that kind of feeds off this, like, okay, where are we now? Where are we now? 1 John 2:18, it says this. 1 John 2:18. God's talking to us. Love the first word. Children. Children. After that thing, yes, Daddy. Okay, children. It is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it's the last hour. It's going to get worse and worse. And the people get worse and they get worse. And you have types of people. We're going to look at this next week. So next week, because if the antichrist is who we're looking at and he is going to, there's certain things he's going to do. It's amazing what the Bible says about the antichrist. I was talking Woods the other morning. I said, my gosh, when I was looking at this, I didn't realize how much put it God says about the antichrist. I mean, He tells us a lot about it, and I chose to ignore it. But when you look, there's a lot said about Him as an individual. He's the Antichrist. So next week, we're going to look at that. We'll have another fun Sunday next week, all right? We'll look at the Antichrist. We'll try to hit on a high note, but we need to look at this guy. We need to look at this guy because God tells us these things, and so we should. He's telling us for a reason. So we'll look at him next week. But in the meantime, Satan keeps trying to put his man in position. You know, I think Hitler was one of his men. He put him in position, you know, didn't pull it off. I think Stalin was one of his men, put him in position. He can't pull it off. That just epitomize evil, all right? But it doesn't come through. But they're a type of what happens and what God is, what the evil one is trying to do. Many have come, and how can they be so mean? How can they be so bad? Because they're evil. And it's because of the devil. All right. Ready for the third birth pain? third birth pain on Termon. This. Birth pain number three. Satan's activity will become evident with ever-increasing intensity. Satan's activity will become more evident with increasing activity, all right? Preparing the people. Look at this, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. No, this guy is not just bad. This guy's not dead bad. He is a tool of Satan. He is like, we talk about we receive the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus indwells us and empowers us. This guy, open arms, receives Satan. And Satan indwells and empowers him. And he comes forward, not just as a really bad guy. He comes back, is showing the fullness of Satan himself. He's going to show the activity of Satan with all power, false signs, and wonders. This guy's going to pull off some crazy stuff. All right? You're going, oh man, oh man. And there's going to be a growing intensity. Now here's a warning, okay? This is a warning of scare parents to death, you know, okay? You watch, and this fascinates me, being as old as I am, and watching over the years, and this growing spirituality in the population, okay? I didn't say Christianity. I didn't say Christian. Spirituality. Like, and you see these things where there's this thing about, oh, I just want to be open to the spirits. I want to tell you something. There's two spiritual forces, good and bad. There's not a third one that's sort of both ways. And so when you open up yourself to, oh, just what the spirit is saying, and it's not Christ, you're opening yourself up to the devil. All right? So you're opening it up to evil, okay? And evil works a lot of different ways. And you see that. And what amazes me is I watch Linda and I, you know, we think we're getting so old now, all you can do is eat and go to the movies. Yeah, it's just like, and we don't like to exercise. And so I just, so we like to go, so we'll go out and eat, and so we'll go to the movies. But you go to the movies and watch these, and I'm watching this stuff, and I can't believe we're watching this stuff. Where did all these vampire movies come from? Well, I have never seen like the, man, I think good-looking guys and gals is vampires. I mean, they're good-looking vampires, you know, but they're all vampires. I go, what is this nonsense? You know, I mean, a vampire. Then all this other kind of spiritual, you know, where you just spirit comes on you and you do all these great things, and I'm thinking, you know, I can't enjoy it, and I'm going, that's evil. They're not good, you know. I don't care what that kid thinks. That's bad. You know, he just received Satan, and everybody's yipping. I'm, that's not good. So anyway, I have to pick my movies. We went last week. Highly recommend it. Went to see Cinderella. Oh, it's good. Cinderella. It was so good. Come on. It was good. I highly recommend Cinderella. I had a good moral, you know. I was really nice. Anyway. But what you have here, what those things do, it opens up a spiritual world and entices people to step into a spiritual world. Satan is spiritual. Satan is spiritual. See? And so when you step into that spiritual world, and people say, oh, that's no, you know, these people, you know, they have palm readers and stuff, and they really can't do that. That's just phooey. There's no power there. I beg to differ. There is power there. There is power. And you see where Satan and demons talk to Jesus. You see where Satan and demons talk to people. No, and they know, okay? They are not God. They can't see in the future, except they're in trouble, you know. But they know people. They know history. They know your life because they've been here forever, okay, since the creation of the world. So you have this spiritual realm. We need to just to be aware. So what Satan is doing is preparing the spiritual realm where people will be open to him. That's what you do. They're being open to him, then he can manipulate them and use them. And he's looking for the one. And he's going to want the one that he is going to indwell, which is going to control the world and bring about all sorts of evil. So, birth pain number three. So you got things are just in the world. There's turmoil. There's a person, an antichrist, and there's going to be increasing evil. Supernatural evil. Supernatural evil. Hope I haven't ruined all the vampire films for you kids. Now, here's a big question. When? Everybody wants to know when. All right. No, I always. Now this is an inside joke. People, I say I'm preaching on end times. They say, "Oh, you are." I say, "Yeah, Jesus is coming Tuesday." Okay. Now anybody in the Christian world laughs at that because they know what the Bible says. You don't know when he's coming back. All right. And so it's an inside joke. Says, "I'm going to preach on Jesus and I preach on the end times, and I've had this great insight. He's coming back Tuesday, and it's high. You like it?" Well, there's also a lesson there. If anybody tells you when Jesus is coming back, don't ever sit under their teaching. Don't ever, because there's something wrong with them, because the Bible clearly says we don't know. Okay, so as soon as it says, "Let me tell you when Jesus is coming back," it's okay, that's okay, we'll just go to the church down the street, you know, because I'm not going to listen to anything else you have to say. And say, God is the only one that knows. And again, as I share this stuff, no matter how things look and the way things are lined up, God could just take the deck, reshuffle it, and redeal. He could, okay? So he didn't want us to know. What he wanted us to do is share Christ. He wanted us to be good witnesses. He wanted to see people come to know him, not sit around here focusing on the roller coaster. You remember what I said? He doesn't want us thinking about the roller coaster. He wants us to share Christ. That's what he wants in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And so, and he wants us to live like we only have 6 months to live. That's what he wants us to live, just like we only got 6 months to live. Come on, what would you do if you only had 6 months to live? I was sharing last night with somebody at a chili cook-off, and I said, "I'm teaching on the end times," and I did my one joke, and I said, "He's coming Tuesday." It's, "Oh, gosh, Tuesday, what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm happy it's Tuesday because I can preach one more message." See, I mean, that's what I'm going to do. Till Jesus comes back, I'm just going to preach a message. You know, how do you get me to shut up? You just take me home. You know, because that's my assignment, is to preach the message, and that's what I want to do. And so that's our desire. If we had 6 months to live, we should put everything into it to preach Christ and share Christ. Amen? And that's what the Apostle Paul understood, and that's how they talked. But look at Matthew 24:36. And you ought to put this in your pocket, just watching TV and stuff. But concerning the day, concerning the day, okay, concerning the day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. And that's when they say, he goes, hey, Father, now? No. We're good. Now, I can't explain a lot of stuff there. It just says what it says. Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. Only the Father. Only the Father. Good verse. No one knows when he's coming back. But it says, be alert. Same thing I said. Be alert. However, we don't know the time, and it's going to be a surprise. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Still talk to these guys at Thessalonica. Guys and gals. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Boom, bam. I mean, it's like a thief in the night. Is he's going to come and he's going to gather us up to him like a thief in the night. Now, so we don't know. It's a thief in the night, and we're supposed to live. Hey, like we only got 6 months to live. We're all sold out for Jesus. That's the message. All right. Now I want to. You have no other option than to nod your head, but everybody good with that so far? You go, nah, I'm not buying none of that. Thank you. But what I want to do, I want to make a little break here, okay? A little break with this. And the scripture is there, and you look at the scripture and you understand how this unfolds, and you understand that, okay, that Jesus is coming back, and he has gave us some things to make us aware. And he tells us to be alert. And he says, no one knows. So we are to be aware, and so we are to pay attention. Now, I want to step over a line here, and this is going to be biblically based in the scriptures, but there's a lot of conjecture here. Different people look at this different way. Godly people that love Jesus, but there's just a different view here. And so I just want to give you over the years, just my take, and I've been all over the map, but I'm just coming back to this. I said, all right, I just, you line it up, I'm 80% sure this is right. Okay, 80%. That's probably high, maybe 75%, all right. But look at this. We will see the birth pains, okay? The church, in time of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see the birth change, birth pains. But in a moment, in a blink of an eye, I think we're going to be gathered to Him. I just think in a blink of an eye, we're going to be gathered up to Him. I don't think we're going to see the 7 years. I don't think we're going to see it, or the 3.5 or 10. Because people talk about this last 7 years, and it's like, okay, Jesus is going to come back in the beginning of the 7 years. And then all hell's going to break loose. No, Jesus is going to come back and it's going to be in the 3.5 years, and then all hell's going to break loose. And then, or He's going to come back at the end of the years after all hell has broken loose. Okay? Now, so I have a vote. It's like if God asks me, I'd say, God, let me go before the 7 years start. I'd like to go early. So that's my vote. All right. Now, when it happens, I don't know. But I mean, it's just if He asks, you know, that's why I want to go early on this. But the thing of it is, when you look at it, what is the day of the Lord? Day of wrath. God does not pour out His wrath on His people. He didn't pour out His wrath on His people. And the Bible says it. You aren't destined for wrath. He doesn't pour out His wrath. Bad stuff happened, but God doesn't pour His wrath on His people. He pours out His wrath on those who are not His people. So I believe we're going to be taken up before that 7 years. I think in the blink, a twinkling of eye, He's just going to gather us up. Now, what would happen then, and you just, now here's, again, conjecture. Just conjecture off the map. If He gathers us up, He gathers His people up, who's left? A lot of nice people, but they're non-Christians. Okay, they're not believers. And what would that usher in? That usher in a place for God's wrath. And we'd usher in a person that would solve everything. The Antichrist. It would usher in the 7 years. It would usher in the 7 years where the covenant would be made by someone who thought they knew everything, the Antichrist. And that 7 years would be ushered in. Why? Because all God's people were just removed. I mean, in fact, the removal of God's people could usher in all of those things. Because the people would be left totally to their own intellectual devices. You know, or they'd be doing the good for the Lord, being doing good for the world. All their worldly wisdom, they'd be doing good for the world, and they'd be left to their own devices. And it would make sense, it would usher in that evilness. Now, look at some verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So the thought here that we would not see the birth, that we would not see the culmination of the birth, we will not see the evil one. We'll see things unfolding, getting worse and worse, but we won't see the evil one, and we won't see the fullness of Satan's works, because we would be taken up before the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now this is scripture, and you look at it for yourselves. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. How's He going to do that? But all God's people say what? Amen. He's going to come and with a trumpet, the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Amen. Verse 17. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them, the dead that have risen out of the grave, be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's us. There's no wrath for us. There's nowhere. And we're supposed to be so excited about that, we want to tell everybody else. I know you got to change diapers. I know you got to, you know, I know you got to pay the rent. I know you got to go to soccer practice. I know, you know. But he said, no, I'm gonna destroy all of this. And just before that, I'm going to catch you up. And forever and be with the Lord. That's our perspective. Our perspective. And by the way, no matter what our belief system is, that should be our perspective. Let's read that again. Because this is so contrary to human thinking. It is so contrary to human thinking, I don't think we can get our arms around it. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. That is our destiny. That is what God thinks about us. I've got you here in this... The whole world's under control of the evil one, but you're my children, and you're going to defeat the evil one. You're gaining territory. You're bringing people to know me, and that, and it's growing intensity of anti-Christian beliefs. But you just keep going, because at my time, I'm going to gather you up, and I'm going to deal with the rest of it. But I still got people there. I still got people there. And the reason you're there, I still got people. I should share. This came to mind. We had, and I have this thought, just be transparent. You know, I'm just thinking, Jesus, come back. I mean, this is a good time. I think it's before the 7 years, although I have questions sometimes. I think I'm in the middle of the 7 years, but then no. No, Jesus, come back. I just want to go. Just right now, just go. What is it? What is it getting worse and worse? Why hang around here? Did an alpha class 2 years ago. Two young ladies came in it, didn't even know if there were a God, sat through the alpha class, and came to know Christ. And God goes, that's why you're not going. That's why you're not going. I'm not done. I got people. I got those people. 6 months ago, those girls wouldn't have been there. 6 months ago, they wouldn't be there. Now they're there. See, the world's full. You're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. And that is our reason. The other stuff is kind of fluff, but our reason is to share Christ. Our reason to understand He's coming back. He's coming back. And look what it says here in Matthew. Well, look what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says. Matthew 24, 40 and 42. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one left. Two women will be gathering at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. He's coming. Signs of the end. Now here's what the Lord says about it. He tells us the signs of the end. He says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. The last part of that says this. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's why he tells us. Be encouraged. Hey, I'm going to deal with this. But you be encouraged. Be encouraged. You should be really encouraged about this. But you got to know what's going on. You have to know what's going on. Here's, in wrapping this up, just as you process through. And by the way, these verses are there for you to look at. And there's, I can give you some, 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about, it says, in a twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. So, I mean, it says it all over the place. In a twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. You know, just bing, you don't know, bing, oh, okay. I mean, you're at the soccer game, your kid's about to score, bing, oh, it's Jesus. It's a flash, it's a twinkling. It's a twinkling of an eye. He's coming back, and he's going to gather his people. I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it again. When I put all this together, I think of Leon Price, which y'all know about, a kind of a real prophetic man that dealt with us. R.T. Kendall, we read his book, Holy Fire. Pastor Milliken, pastor that I knew, and they all said the same thing. And I'm really starting to be convinced of it. It says, before the Lord comes, there's going to be a great revival. They just said, it's just going to be great. No scripture, it's just going to be a great revival. And it's like, but when you look at this, yeah, why wouldn't there be? Why wouldn't there be? Because it's going to be bad. And all of hell is gathering. All of hell is gathering on to oppress Christians. Why wouldn't there be a great revival? Why wouldn't there be a great come that God intervenes and makes happen before he deals his final blow? before he deals his final blow. And look at us. I think about us as a church. I thought about this and just process. By the way, you ever wonder why I sit around and think about something? I think about the church. I think of processing. And I think about what the Lord has shown us. And I look at the things of how he's revealed the things of the Holy Spirit to us. The things of the spiritual gifts to us. The things of just him healing people. The things of just the prophetic things that have been given to certain people. Just the move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit that's happened within the kids. I'm looking at that. My gosh, look at just how there's a growing intensity of the things of the Holy Spirit. What would count? We see before the evil one comes, there's going to be a growing intensity of evil. What's the counter to that? The growing intensity of the Holy Spirit to offset it. He doesn't win. He doesn't win. Okay, this doesn't happen until he takes his church out. So there's going to be a growing intensity of the Holy Spirit. If there's a growing intensity of evil, there's going to be a growing intensity of the things of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see things of the Spirit more powerful than what we've seen before. And we're going to see greater things done in the Spirit than we've ever seen before. Because the evil is going to be darker and worse than what we've seen before. But the Lord says, I can take care of this. In fact, I've got this taken care of. So everything is growing in intensity. You know what's not growing in intensity? It's not going to last. Lukewarmness. You're going to have to pick a side. You're going to be forced to pick a side. Lukewarmness will not get it. And God's not happy with lukewarmness. Do you know what God said about lukewarmness? So I could just spew you out of my mouth. The literal interpretation is vomit. Lukewarm. God is not pleased with lukewarm. He's not pleased with lukewarm. So it's like, okay, let's fulfill our commission. How many times I've heard people pray over this church into different people. This church, I'm talking us. It'd be a place of healing. And you think, all right, greater intensity. Preparing people because things are going to happen. Now the church is world, right? There's churches all over the world, but he works with each congregation. So it's, oh my gosh. It's coming. Jesus is coming back. Here's something. All believing Christians believe. All right? Jesus is coming back. They all believe it. May disagree when, but they all believe it. And here is something that all believing Christians believe. Okay? We just simplify this. Okay? And this is the message been given to us. John 3:16-17. And it makes so much sense. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but in order that the world might be saved through him. I'm going to do this. God said, I'm going to do this. I'm doing it. It's going to come back. I'm going to burn it to a crisp. I'm going to eradicate evil. But I don't want anybody to perish. So I sent my son to take the sin of the world. Sent my son, Wallace, to take your sin. Now talk about me. Because I paid your penalty. And you say, Linda, I took your sin. Well, now talk about me. I don't want to see anybody perish. Now put your name there. I took your sin. Why? Because I don't want to see anybody else perish. That's the purpose. I want to make $1 million. He's going to burn. He doesn't want to see anyone perish. If he gave you $1 million, he wants you to use it to funnel it in so that people don't perish. See, that's why we're here. That's what the verse is. I sent my son so people wouldn't perish. Because they are going to perish and I'm going to do it. God said, I'm doing it. But you're my hope. You're my hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything. Won't we stand up and praise our Lord Jesus Christ that there's no wrath coming upon us. He's warning us. He said, hey, y'all are in a wonderful position. This is a glorious position. You're in a wonderful position. But you need to have a heart for those around you. Because they reject it. But at least they should know. At least they should know. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. And Lord, I pray you be our teacher. And thank you, Lord, did you just warn us what is coming? It's not going to fall on us. But we have a message to share with others so it won't fall on them either. We don't want it to fall on anybody. And you've given us the message of salvation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.